Well, hey guys, welcome to day three of my teaching for this week, all about building a relationship with God. And today I'm going to take a few moments with you and explore Jesus's relationship with the Father. Well, I am in Greenland this week. I'm in Florida and ministering here for a week, but it's good to be with you today. A few quick announcements. If you're watching this, I'm going to be in Florida for a week, ministering in the Lakeland, Orlando, Bradenton, Melbourne area. So I'd love to connect with you at one of my events. So if you want a coffee throughout the day, let me know. And good things are happening here in Florida. Secondly, big thanks to all of my YouTube followers. We have over 1 million subscribers. So if you want to join that bunch, really encourage you to do that. Thirdly, I encourage everybody to sign up for my weekly email newsletter. I'm really actually enjoying email. It's kind of old-fashioned, but a way of connecting with people. And my weekly blog, Substack, and all of the things. Email's probably the best way of getting in touch with me. Fourthly, do grab a copy of my new book, Building a Relationship with God. This could be one of the greatest things you actually ever invest your life in, how to build a relationship with God. It's available as a Kindle or a paperback on Amazon, and I also have a study guide that goes with that. Let me say as well, I'm still setting up my itinerary for later on in the year. I'm going to be in the UK in September, back here in Florida in October. I'm doing a missions trip to the nation of Ireland. There are still places open if you'd like to come with me to Ireland in the month of November, and I'll be ministering in France in December, of course, in addition to my work in New England, where I am based. Hey, if you're a church or group and you're interested in inviting me, I'm not really interested in doing conferences, but if you want to impact your area with the power of the gospel, salvation, healing, preaching faith, drop me a line, let me know. I don't charge anything to come and preach. I have a wonderful group of partners who support my ministry, so that's how I'm able to travel and sow into the nations. Good. So let's jump into this teaching again. So part of what I've been trying to communicate really every day and in the content of this book is the idea that we need to rethink, recalibrate, reevaluate our understanding of what it actually means to have a relationship with Father God. And a lot of the premise of this book is simply this, that the standard for a relationship with God should not be measured by how we walked yesterday. I think if most of us look back at our past, there are highs in our walk with God, there are mountaintop experiences, there are times we were so close with God. I think if you're honest, you look back and you say there are times when, you know, things were not going so well, where you dragged your feet, where you struggled in your relationship with God, highs and lows. My point is, so often what we will do is we will project our yesterday into our today and into our tomorrow. And for most of us, we really have two reference points when it comes to determining our walk with God. Number one, how we walked with God yesterday, or all our yesterdays. And number two, how we perceive, and this is often inaccurate, but how we think other people are walking with God. And we will project this again into today and tomorrow. We create this average, how we walk with God and how we think others are walking with God. Now again, sometimes that can be a facade or a show, or we're not seeing the struggles go on under the hood, under the surface. My proposition to you is the only true measure, the only true metric of how we should walk with God is how Jesus walked with God. Of course, he was God, I know this, fully God in the flesh, and yet he walked as fully as a man here on the earth, and yet in perfect relationship with his Father God. And again, my challenge, my proposition to you is he is the standard. Paul talks about, I haven't yet attained, but this one thing I do, I press for the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. God's call on Paul was to be like Jesus. Now, we tend to think of being like Jesus in terms of being holy and choosing right and doing wrong, or maybe doing miracles, and amen, no problem, I agree with all of those things. But I think we're called, the highest call in a sense, is to walk with Father God like Jesus walked with Father God. And what I want to do today, and again, I go into this in a chapter of this book, is to really just unpack with you for a few moments, and I'm going to give you just some bullet point ideas to think through. How did Jesus walk with God? What was it actually like? Come on, I'm recording this on a, what is it today? It's Thursday, here in Florida. Beautiful weather here. How did Jesus walk with his father on a Thursday? When he gets up, I don't know if he had a shower. They probably didn't have showers. Probably didn't have coffee. How did he walk with his father? Yeah. Let me give you a few ideas. Number one, and I'll come back to this in tomorrow's teaching as well, I think he was absolutely one and connected, vine and branches, again, I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, with his father. I think there was no sense of separation or of disconnection. I like to say religion thrives on the illusion of distance and delay. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, religion thrives on the idea that God is far away or that there's a delay in reaching God. Yeah, and God, I think Jesus walked and talked absolutely one with his Father. I think Jesus lived, secondly, in the absolute love and acceptance of his Father. I actually think when the Father said to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," it wasn't a shock to Jesus. It was more like a public declaration of what Jesus had already known. I think Jesus spent the whole of his life living in that reality of, I am the Son of my Father, I'm the Son of God, and my Father is pleased, I'm accepted in the... Think about this, I don't think Jesus ever suffered shame. Now, of course, on the cross, in a substitutionary way, but Jesus never experienced shame, never experienced failure, never experienced any sense of he disappointed God. He was absolutely loved and accepted in the Father. He was absolutely righteous. He knew no sin. We sometimes think of righteousness as the absence of sin. Like, if you don't sin, you'll be righteous. But that turns righteousness into like a vacuum or a void. It would be like saying if there's no atmosphere, we're in a, you know, like space in a vacuum. And righteousness is a reality. It's a force. God is right. He's not just not wrong. And Jesus lived fully in the righteousness of his Father, 24/7, all the time. He was clothed in the righteousness of God. You've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your brethren. So Jesus was absolutely clothed in the righteousness of his Father. I mean, I can go on here, but I want you to think of these things. And then I want you to think, how would it be for you to walk in these things today? Jesus lived in perfect fellowship. He enjoyed the fellowship of his Father. Not as some religious duty, not as some ticking of boxes, but he enjoyed spending time with his Father. He lived in the joy of his Father. He lived in perfect peace. He said, "Peace I give you." Jesus was in so many situations where we would not be at peace. You know, I was on a plane the other day, flying here to Florida, and I think it's one of the worst turbulence experiences I've ever had. And I've been on planes hundreds of times, and turbulence, you know, big deal, I'm used to it. But there is a place, I was in a place in turbulence the other day where the plane is just getting thrown about, like you're on a roller coaster. We're literally, you know, people like vomiting, excuse me for sharing this great truth with you, you know, literally just holding onto my seats, like, and, you know, it wasn't a case of just put your seatbelt on and hold on to your cup of coffee. It was like, just hold on to your seat. And Jesus was in places like that, like in the boat in Mark chapter 4, and yet he could sleep. Why? Because he had perfect peace on the inside of him. His peace wasn't derived from externals. It was derived from internals. It says in Isaiah, Jesus was a root in a dry ground. Come on, I can go on and on and on here, as you know. But Jesus lived in the place where he could perfectly hear his Father's voice. It was never a strain, a struggle, a difficult thing to hear his Father's voice. He lived in the protection of his Father, in the provision of his Father. There was never anything lacking. He knew no lack. And he gave all of that up at the cross that he might have it back. Come on, I want to close down today, but here's my challenge to you. I want you to think through, and again, that book will help you do that. Think through how Jesus walked with the Father, the attributes, the characteristics, the descriptors of that, and realize you can step into that same life today. Excuse me. 1 John 2 verse 6 says, we should walk even as he walked. Selah. Guys, I'm going to be back tomorrow, and I'm going to talk about what to me is probably one of the greatest revelations I ever received, the vine and branches. That's the closest relationship we can have with the Father. Have a great day wherever you're at. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know where you're watching from, and I'll say hi right back. And let me know how I can pray for you. Again, Sleazy Commercial, grab a copy of this book. I really do believe it will bless you. It's just full of scriptures. I actually forgot that, but I'm looking at the back page of this book. I ended this book literally writing scriptures after scriptures, pages of scriptures on who you are in Christ Jesus. I think that's such a powerful thing, and I know it will bless you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.